I'm Evan Applegate. I'm a cartographer, and on Very Expensive Maps, I talk to better cartographers. Today, you'll hear from Danielle Curry, an embroiderer in New Brunswick, Canada, who turns satellite and aerial imagery into rich embroidered landscapes, one stitch at a time. In fact, you will hear exclusively from Danielle, because I messed up my side of the recording.
My name is Danielle Curry. I'm located in New Brunswick, Canada, and I am an embroidery artist on the side, but in my full-time 9-to-5 gig, I'm an environmental professional for the federal government here in Canada. Essentially, I got my start during the pandemic. At the time, I was living in Alberta, Canada, which is on the western side of Canada. I grew up here in New Brunswick. And, you know, it was a really, obviously, stressful time, lots of unknown, and I was away from family, right? I couldn't get to my family in New Brunswick, and so that was stressful, and my job at the time had a bit to do with COVID stuff, so it was COVID everywhere. I couldn't get away from it, and I needed something mentally to kind of just check out, something a little meditative. And so I've always been kind of a crafty, artsy kind of person, but nothing ever too seriously. And then I started embroidering kind of things unrelated to satellite imagery. And then one day I just kind of realized, like, I love looking at satellite images. I love maps and things like that. It kind of just scratches a part of my brain that feels just right. And so I said, hey, I like looking at that stuff so much. Why don't I embroider it? I've never embroidered before. I had done like cross stitch. I've done sewing and knitting and all sorts of kind of needle and thread arts, but was never at an art level. Kind of just gave it a shot, dropped it after a few weeks. Nothing ever stuck. And I started embroidering and yeah, I just really started to enjoy it. And I was encouraged by my friends and family to start posting my work. And I was like, nah, like who would want to see this stuff? And so I kind of did like a soft launch, and that's how I came up with the moniker Satellite Stitches, because I didn't want to use my real name, because I was just putting it out there just for fun. And then it just absolutely took off. And so I figured, oh, well, I might as well put my face and a name to the account. And yeah, and it so happened I started posting my stuff on Reddit. And someone at NASA reached out, NASA Ocean. They do some amazing work. And this gentleman reached out and said, hey, have you seen this before? And it was a link to their gallery online. They're on the NASA Ocean website, and they post beautiful satellite imagery of all different colors. And so I started with just Google Maps and kind of stitching what I thought was really pretty. And then yeah, I've discovered that gallery, and that's my latest collection is all inspired by their satellite images from their ocean biology processing group, I believe is who does the work. So that's how it kind of evolved. I've actually gotten away from the satellite imagery, and my latest endeavor is actually working with aerial photographers. So I reached out to a bunch of different aerial photographers that take pictures of rivers in Iceland, because Icelandic rivers have gorgeous colors, right? And the patterns are just incredible. And I said, hey, let's try that. So I've completed one so far. I used a photo by Andri, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Jonasson. I'm probably butchering it, but anyways. And I did great big rectangle pieces, like 11 by 14, 12 by 15 size. So yeah, that's been my latest endeavor. Something kind of the same, but very different. Start to finish, 400 plus hours. I don't really track my time. Like, it's just a guesstimate in the evenings, picking away at it. Like, I don't just, there's no such thing as just watching TV. It's like I'll sit and embroider and watch TV at the same time. People message me and they're like, how do you do it? Can you do like tutorials? Like, can you host a course? And I'm like, there's no rhyme or reason. Like, I will start with general shapes drawn onto the fabric. And usually I use like a heat erasable pen, or I'll use like dissolvable paper just to get general shapes, because I do want to get like the dimensions right so that it looks like, and I always just try to match the image as close as possible. It's like a sick and twisted game because it's forever an endeavor. I never, in my mind, I mean, looking at my own work, I only see the flaws, right? And there's only so many colors of floss, so it's really difficult to get kind of the nuances sometimes. So you have to blend a bunch of different ones. But yeah, essentially start off with basic shapes, and I'll usually do kind of like a base layer of just coloring in like solid chunks where, you know, the undertone, you can tell it's kind of all one color, and then I'll layer different colors on top. So some sections may just be layer upon layer. And I only use straight stitches, just back and forth. That's it. I just do different size and different angles to try and create kind of like dimension and flow in the work. And that's it. No rhyme or reason. It's literally just hundreds of hours of your life just stitching up and down. That's exactly what it is. And it's so funny because I'll get messages sometimes like, hey, are you selling your paintings? And I'm like, yeah, zoom in, buddy. It ain't paint. But it's funny because the technique is actually called thread painting. This illusion of smoothness, right? And cohesion with all your stitches and the colors. So it's a fun challenge. If somebody says, I like your painting, I'm like, mission accomplished. I did it. I don't set out any of my colors beforehand. I have 5 containers. They're these floss organizers. So when you get floss, they're like, they're just kind of wrapped and packaged. So I take those off and I spin them around these kind of, I don't know what the proper terms are, but there's these little plastic holders that you put your skeins of floss on. And then I organize them into boxes by color groups. And so I have 5 of those to fit all the colors. And I mean, I'll pick like 3 or 4 of the major obvious colors I see, but then the rest of it, it's like forever having these containers open and just picking at random, seeing what matches. If it doesn't, I don't necessarily pull it out. I'll just work it in and cover it and blend it in. I do some like personal pieces that I've given as gifts of like pets and people and stuff. And those, like, I'll rip it out because I can't. It's so finite. I can't layer after layer. I won't be able to push a needle through. But with my satellite stuff and my aerial photography stuff, there's no real pulling out. It's just trudge ahead. So by the end of it, like, I don't know how many colors I'll end up using in a final piece. I don't keep count. I used to, but not anymore with these big pieces. There's just so many. When I start things off, I'll kind of just loosely stitch in into the shapes the color so that I know I'm going to use that color. And then it's just hours and hours and hours of just filling in just the base color. So that I don't really need to reference it a lot. But when I get going into adding kind of blending and detail, yeah, I end up referencing it quite a bit, just because that's the fun for me, is trying to match the actual photo. So I started my next piece, and it's a piece by Abstract Aerial Art. Yeah, they take some incredible photos of work. And so I reached out to everyone and just said, hey, like, here's my work. Here's what I do. I'm really interested in doing kind of like an Icelandic aerial photo series. And everyone I reached out to was pretty jazzed about it. You know, when they agreed, I thanked them very much. And I said, look for your piece in like 2055, because by the time I get around to completing them all, this is like going to be my like lifetime project, my legacy project. It takes so long, just because obviously I'm not a full-time embroiderer, right? So I gotta just find opportunities where I can. So yeah, don't hold your breath, but it is worth it. It is worth it. They turn out pretty cool. I've had so many people ask me to do commissions for them, you know, and it's like, sure, if you want to get it when you're like 80, you know, like, it just takes so long. So it's just unrealistic to say, yeah, I'll take this commission on, but just give me like 3 to 5 years. So website. I do sell my work. I price it pretty high, like it's accurate. Your podcast is called Very Expensive Maps. Mine are very expensive. That is true. But like, I wouldn't even buy my own my own art. I'm not my target audience, right? Like, it's truly. I'm not a small artist. I don't depend on this income. Sure, it's great. I don't mind it, but I'm not desperate to sell it. So, I mean, I know the sheer hundreds of hours that I've put into this work. And so I priced it how, accordingly, what I think I'm worth. And if it sells, it sells. Great. If it doesn't sell, great. I love looking at them. I'm not looking to get rid of my pieces. They bring me so much joy. So it is what it is. I do sell prints, though, because I do recognize that paying a couple grand for a hoop is not feasible for many, many people. So that's why I opened it up to prints as well. Just, you know, if somebody really wants a piece or a group shot, then they can get one that way, too. I just tried different things until I found what works for me and the technique that works for me. Mind you, I don't really have a technique, but in terms of, like, how to set up my hoops, how to start things off, how to finish them off and stuff. It's a very personal process. Like, you find what works for you and what you like. And the backs of mine are absolute hot messes. Like, they're supposed to be, I think, because, yeah, it's just, you're supposed to just take it as it comes and jump around where you see fit. And, yeah, they're almost like a piece of art on their own. The backs of them, real abstract, kind of weird art, but... Putting together this Icelandic little series I'm doing is like a shocking amount of planning for how I usually approach my art. Like, the fact that I had to reach out to people and decide on a subject and stuff like this, like, that's about as far in advance my planning goes. So who's to say? I mean, it's a time thing, right? It takes a lot of time, and the bigger the piece, the longer it's going to take. So I mostly just, finish them to enjoy them myself. So really, what's the rush? Another reason I don't take commissions, like, when you're putting this many hours into a piece, you really have to like the colors you're working with and the picture itself. Because, for example, I did a hoop for my cousin as a wedding gift of one of her photos from her wedding day. And at first, I had started with an engagement photo, and the colors were just, like, kind of off, and I really didn't like the picture. And I got pretty far in it, and I ended up just scrapping it and starting over when I saw her wedding pictures come out, because they were just such much more rich colors, and I really enjoyed them. And then it was like no problem to get it done. So doing commissions, I mean, I can't just be like, you know what? I don't like the colors of your picture. I changed my mind. Here's your money back. Like, I can't do that, right? So... And then at that point, it's not fun. I don't enjoy it. It's like a job, and embroidery is not a job for me. I love it. I enjoy it. I do it when I want, and I stitch what I want, and I plan on keeping it that way. Sometimes we'll lose interest in what I'm working on, but I'll set it aside, and oftentimes, like 6-7 months down the road, I'll pick it up again. And so I have a couple that are just kind of sitting. So they're both pretty much all filled in. Just need the fun part of like the blending and stuff, and just kind of lost interest in the photo, but I still really like them, so I don't want to get rid of them, and I'm sure someday I'll finish them, and if not, well. I don't take the time to hit the road and, you know, visit galleries and talk to curators and folks. Like, I'm not from the art world. Like, I have a environmental and biology background. Like, I have my master's in science. So this is a whole new world to me. So I probably don't do things the way typical people would if they want to get their stuff seen. Everyone that sees my work is just a bonus to me. I'm very open to this, but just nothing I've ever really pursued. I did get a message from one person who has a booth at the upcoming Seattle Craft Fair or Art Fair. I looked it up. I had no idea what it even was, and it's a pretty cool event, but I was finishing my master's at the time and working full time and just you know, didn't have the time to really put into to making sure everything was right and shipping everything. And so I passed on that opportunity. In past positions, I've done a lot of work with like ArcGIS for environmental studies and things, field work, tracking, you know, delineating wetlands and stuff like that, different things. So I've dabbled a bit in that, but it's been a few years now. But I always really liked working with that because I just liked the satellite imagery. And so it spoke to me. Kind of moved away from that, but if it came around in the future, yeah, I'd be all over that. I love GIS. I kind of came up with a cool idea too of like titling my work with the Latin long of where it's inspired from. I thought that was kind of a cool way to like link it back to maps and to, you know, cartography and stuff like that, is to name them after their locations. And then it gives people a chance, they can pop those coordinates into Google Maps and, you know, check it out on their own. I've had other folks that work at NASA Ocean and NASA reach out just through happening to find my work and get to chatting. And I did ask one person about a bit about like the satellites and how the different colors come across. You know, it's picking up things like, not cyanobacteria, but like different life forms in the water that will create blooms, and then the currents will move them, and then those colors will get picked up, or dust, or like there's all sorts of things that they can pick up. And I just encourage, you know, if you want to learn more, just go to NASA Ocean Color, their website. They have some great information there. I do follow quite a few artists that do kind of aerial stuff. And one of them you actually interviewed before on this podcast, Kate Tarling. Her work is incredible. She machine embroiders, though. And then, you know, when she frames them and all the loose ends just kind of like fly off the edge of her maps, it's just gorgeous. I love it. Another artist that's really cool, who's actually not an embroiderer, she's a painter. Her name is Jenny Stubblefield. She does aerial paintings, but it's not from like directly looking down. It's as if you're flying in a plane and looking out a window. And she'll do like grasslands and river beds and, you know, farm fields and everything. And her colors are just wild. They're beautiful paintings. And oftentimes she'll paint them on a round canvas. So it's really like you're almost looking out of a porthole, out of a plane. It's gorgeous. And another one that's really good is Clara Bow. She's an embroiderer, and she is working on this one piece. And you were talking about me, you know, the idea, do I have plans of doing a giant embroidery? She is literally embroidering a table runner size embroidery of Central Park. And it shows like all the pathways and the little ponds and the greenery and everything. And at one point, one of her posts said she's been working on it for like 5 years and has like 4,000 hours into it or something crazy. Like, it's just bonkers. So her stuff is also super cool. Yasmin Louise Holder is her name. And she does these pendants of aerial views, and they're like 3D. I don't know how she does it, but it's gorgeous, with like rivers and like hills, and they're these tiny pieces, but have so much dimension. It's just incredible. I'm always in awe of her work. It's been a joy to chat, and as a fan of your show, it's been awesome to be able to take part. Thanks so much.
See Danielle's work at satellitestitches.com, SATELLITESTITCHES.com. She's also on Instagram at satellite_stitches. This episode is brought to you by The Map Consultancy, supplier of professional, data-driven maps for your decks, reports, walls, and events. Visit themapconsultancy.com to see what good maps can do for you. I'm Evan Applegate. I'm a cartographer, and you should make your own maps.
No one wants to see dull, ugly maps. If you want to get through to your customers, you need the best cartography money can buy. The Map Consultancy will create maps with your data and your branding, PowerPoint decks, annual reports, conferences and events, your office walls. The Map Consultancy does it all. Visit themapconsultancy.com and get the best maps today.